Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Good morning and welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm your host, Grant Turgeon. We're coming to you on this wonderful Friday morning, May 10th, broadcasting from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma, on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm. Recently here in Edmond, and probably for a lot of you listeners, we have been instructed quite a lot about how we speak, the words we choose, the way in which we use them. That has really stood out to me recently. Here in Edmond, we have just heard three sermonettes that have at least something to do about complaining. There was a sermonette about how the spies who entered the Promised Land came back terrified, and they in turn terrified the rest of Israel by greatly exaggerating the size of the giants in that land. Instead of saying they were almost 10 feet tall, the spies pretty much said that they were more like 200 feet tall. And the only spies who didn't give an exaggerated negative report like that were Joshua and Caleb, who of course then became high up leaders in Israel. There's another sermonette here at headquarters recently about how the Israelites were really thirsty on their journey, and they stopped at Marah, and God worked a miracle to provide water for them. But then instead of being thankful for that, the Israelites started complaining about how that water was too bitter. There was also a sermon here at headquarters, and part of that was about not gossiping. So you see, there's a lot of different ways that we could use our words the wrong way, whether it's complaining, negatively exaggerating something, being ungrateful, gossiping. A few articles from PCG.church recently are about this subject too. There's one titled Avoid Criticizing, and it's from Mr. Greg Nice on April 30th. Here is just an excerpt from that great article. Edwin Stanton didn't like his boss. He once told a friend that he didn't think he was intelligent. He also referred to him as the original gorilla. Mr. Stanton was the United States Secretary of War, and he was willing to openly share this criticism of his superior, Abraham Lincoln. Perhaps you have heard, either first or second hand, that someone you thought was your friend criticized you, your dress, your family, or your personality. Perhaps they called you something like the original gorilla. How did you feel? Quite the lead into that article there, and I won't spoil the rest of it for you, but you can find that article, Avoid Criticizing, in the youth section at pcg.church. I have a couple other articles here from recently that I just wanted to highlight, and one of our listeners recently mentioned that I should probably start using the show notes section in our archives at kpcg.fm and wherever we put the podcasts. So I will put these articles in the show notes so that you can find them easily. Here's another article. This is titled Every Idle Word, and this is by Mr. Reese Zollner, who is a headquarters employee here. And this is just a really awesome excerpt from this article. He writes, negativity in our conversation could impact your perception on everything. If your first reaction is to find the negative, then you will find plenty of negatives. It can become a powerful habit that changes your approach to life and causes you to miss out on some truly spectacular things. Did you know that there are several one-star reviews online for the Grand Canyon? Some people go to one of the most magnificent spectacles in the world, one of America's national treasures, a sight that should humble and amaze all who see it. They see the views that leave other men breathless, and they don't think it's worth the trip. They zone in on the negatives, and in their mind, the negatives outweigh the majesty of the Grand Canyon. You don't want to get so cynical that you can't appreciate the Grand Canyon. If all you can talk about is the negative, you're going to miss out on some real beauty. And the larger point of that article was against making cynical or negative, critical type of jokes, because even when it is joking, it can definitely have that kind of a negative impact on our mindset. And finally, there's another article here. This is from the February True Education magazine, and you could find that at pcg.church as well. And this one is from Mr. Joel Hilliker, and it's titled, "Do You Make Fun of Everything?" And just a quick excerpt from that. "That is so stupid. Everyone is an idiot. Here I sit on my throne of judgment. I am capable of mocking everything I see because I am witty and clever because I am better." This attitude is easy to have, and it can make people laugh, but it can turn you into something you don't want to be. It is interesting how we've been hearing so much about the impact of words lately.
So for the first day of Unleavened Bread, I had the opportunity to give a sermonette, and I wanted to talk about complaining. This subject had a lot to do with the Israelites at the time of this Unleavened Bread week, this week in fulfillment. And so it definitely seemed to make sense as a good subject for that day. If you remember some of the history there, it basically started out with the Israelites witnessing 10 miraculous plagues that wiped out the nation of Egypt that had enslaved them for many hundreds of years. And right after that, they had the opportunity to leave Egypt, leave slavery, and leave what is a type of sin, Egypt. But then just 5.5 days later, basically, Egypt decided they didn't want to give up millions of slaves, millions of free labor. And so the entire Egyptian army and Pharaoh himself pursued after Israel and chased them down as Israel camped by the Red Sea. Now remember, Israel had just witnessed these incredible miracles. They had just been freed by a supernatural being, by God himself. And so you would think that perhaps they would trust in God for another miracle at this point as they see the army approaching. But Israel was infected with a morale-sapping virus. At first, only one or two carriers spread that virus, but then those carriers infected other people. And finally, very quickly, Israel became a group of pathetic cowards. Now, this virus is very simple, very easy to understand. It's something we can all relate to. It's something that can affect all of us in our everyday lives, at home, at work, at school, in any of our enjoyment activities, in any of our responsibilities. That virus is complaining. Here's a quote from Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong in the Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, Witch Booklet, pages 21 and 22. "And as the Israelites went out with a high hand, in great exultation and elation over their deliverance from bondage, so does the newly begotten Christian start out his Christian life, up in the clouds of happiness and joy. But what happens? The devil and sin immediately pursue after the newly begotten Son of God. And soon the new and inexperienced Christian finds he is down in the depths of discouragement and tempted to give up and quit." That just shows how effective Satan is at causing us to doubt, to focus on the negative, and to really become so demoralized and discouraged that we just want to stop. My favorite verse, really since I was a teenager, has always been Philippians 2, verse 14. This verse says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That is a lot easier said than done. To do everything without complaining and without arguing, that's what you could translate those words to mean. And it's interesting because complaints often lead to arguments when you are in the midst of someone, in the presence of someone who is complaining a lot. Sometimes you start arguing with them so that they will stop complaining. That is the sad irony of those situations usually. But the Israelites didn't heed the basic wisdom in this pithy verse. We know the account in Exodus 14. The people quickly turned on Moses and began saying outrageous things. Why couldn't you let us die in Egypt instead of getting us killed out here in the desert? We actually prefer slavery over freedom. And on and on and on they went. They just kept on complaining, even though God had used Moses to free them just days before this. You'd think they would remember that recent miracle. Now, Israel as a whole, millions of people were complaining and shouting at Moses, but it probably did just start with one or two complainers. And that is also the case with Lucifer and the angels who served under him on earth. Lucifer, who became Satan, probably spent many millions of years just trying to convince one other angel underneath him to flip, to get negative, to get bitter, to get jealous of God, and to flip, to rebel. But after that happened, Satan had a helper. There were two complainers instead of one. And for every angel eventually flipped by those two, their group of complainers rapidly expanded. Very soon, doubt, negativity, and depression consumed even the righteous, holy angels under Lucifer. One complainer quickly becomes a few, then dozens, then hundreds, then thousands, then millions of complainers. And it's easy for us to complain when we are surrounded by complainers in society, complainers in our everyday lives. If you flip on the radio or the television or you read the news, you will see and hear complainers all the time, everywhere you turn. This is a complaining society. People are always upset. And this is a poison in the political realm where politicians are trying to enact outrageous policies. For example, the Green New Deal. That is a recent idea proposed. And basically, the premise of that is that America is a polluter. America is endangering the survival of the planet because of pollution. And so America needs to basically cripple its own industrial capacity to make up for this. No one really takes too much time to pause and think if America really is at fault here, if these policy ideas will help anybody. What about the idea of reparation payments for the ancestors of slaves? Slavery in the U.S. has been out of existence, abolished for well over 100 years, and yet there are politicians agitating so that perhaps we will pay the ancestors of those slaves. You have millionaire athletes boycotting the White House because of things that President Trump never actually said, because of things he never actually did, but they have been convinced by the media he has said and done those things, and they're going to complain and make those complaints into a boycott. They're not grateful to their team owners who pay them millions of dollars. They think that those owners are exploiting their labor and treating them unfairly. And the list goes on and on. There are so many different areas in society where people complain. And it gets down to the little things too. Coffee's not hot enough, perhaps, when we wake up in the morning, or it's not fresh. It's not been ground bean by bean to be the most exquisite roast. Maybe our homework assignments are too hard, or we have to memorize a lot of Bible verses for a final exam, or our teacher has sprung a pop quiz on us. I actually vividly remember years ago when I was in school, then this happened. Our teacher mentioned in passing that we would be taking a pop quiz that day, and immediately the reaction from the class was just overwhelming. Everyone was gasping, and they were demoralized, and they were complaining about how they hadn't had enough time to study yet. And so I obviously was dealing with my own doubts inside. I didn't know if I'd be ready for a pop quiz. But with the help of all those complainers in the class, I definitely knew I wasn't ready for the pop quiz. It's easy to complain about really anything. Maybe we have some tough deadlines at work to meet, and maybe it requires staying a little late sometimes. Maybe the meal we ordered at a restaurant isn't up to our standards, or it's too hot outside, too cold outside. We're going through a lot of pain or health trials or family trials, and it's just hard not to complain about those types of things. There are so many things that we could complain about on a daily basis, whether big or small, and that's why we do it so easily, because it is easy to complain and because there are so many opportunities to do so. I remember a couple other times where complaining had a really big impact on me, or my complaining had a really big impact on others. There was once years ago, I was in a PE class, and we were doing a really hard workout for class that day, and there was just one person who was discouraged, and he was letting everyone else know about it. And obviously, we all had been battling mentally to stay positive when we knew we'd be challenged through that workout. But when we heard that complainer, it really did sap morale of the entire group. And then, of course, I'm not saying I'm not guilty of this exact same thing. There was another time in college where we were setting up for a formal event, and we had to basically lay down kind of like a carpet or a roll out over the gym floor. We had to set up a pipe and drape all around the perimeter to hide the gym equipment. We had to get out the nicest linens and decorations and prepare for this formal event. And I was positive at first, but then by the 11th or 12th hour of setting up, I was extremely negative, and I didn't keep those thoughts to myself. And I could definitely tell that my negativity had a bad impact on others in that situation. But it's important to understand that complaining doesn't include crying out to God. A lot of times when we're feeling heavily burdened by trials, God actually just wants us to go to Him with that. He wants us to complain, if you want to put it that way, to Him. He wants us to air our grievances with Him, and He'll deal with it. There's only so much other people can do, but God will help. Complaining doesn't include confiding in a close friend. Maybe we are going through something really difficult, and we do need help. And simply informing somebody else of that situation is not complaining. Complaining doesn't include confronting evil. When we point out that something is wrong or should be avoided in our midst, well, that's a good thing. We shouldn't tolerate evil just so that we don't say something that could be construed negatively. But when we question certain decisions or express displeasure with certain decisions or circumstances, we can cause others to start thinking negatively too. We have to realize that we're God's spiritual army. We must consider the impact that our complaints have on the morale of our fellow soldiers. Here's a quote from the Overcomer booklet, How to Be an Overcomer, pages 78 through 80. And this is written by Mr. Gerald Fleury. If you really have the spirit God wants you to have, the high morale, you are going to win three battles where you would normally win one. That is what we need in our war. High morale. How is your morale in this war? How is your morale right now? Would your friends say of you, that person really has high morale? Are you known for being ready to do battle in this work, doing all you can to finish the job? There are a lot of great examples in history of men who stirred up those under them, and that's why they were such incredible leaders. Napoleon, it was said, had the same value as 40,000 men. That's the type of morale boost he gave his soldiers. Winston Churchill, we've heard a lot of great quotes about from him about how Britain would never surrender to the Nazis. And he basically single-handedly prevented his entire nation from surrendering. It was his positivity that made sure that all of his people would keep fighting. Robert E. Lee, the Confederate general, basically stirred his men to fight even as they were starving to death, even as they basically had no shoes. They were trekking hundreds of miles barefoot and with clothes that were falling off their backs because they were decaying so quickly. And yet, they were willing to fight to the death. They were willing to do whatever it took for their side to win. Robert E. Lee was a positive force. And these types of forces can galvanize people. We can't even really measure the value of people like that who are positive. Philadelphians generally are excellent, though, when it comes to not complaining. Members of God's church really do set an exemplary example when it comes to smiling. You won't see people smile more than members in God's church. You probably won't hear more positivity than from people in God's church. And that's a great example. But it is something to think about, and it is obviously an area that can easily affect all of us. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10 says, Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same spirit. Unity of speech there obviously includes not complaining. God's people should be unified totally. And what better way to do that than to replace complaining with positive comments and encouragement? So this is one great way that we can build high morale in God's church and in God's work, by just eliminating complaining. So this has been another episode of Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. Thank you very much for listening.
Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.